Hola Rubén,
Buenas
hello,
tardes, días, lo que sea.
días, sí, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Qué bien, qué bueno tenerte aquí. It's so good to have you here. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So, thanks very much for having me, and it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure finally to meet you.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of you, and I don't know if
Wonderful.
the Spanish community is big in here or not. But I got one of the clients from my gym talk to me about your system and how it improved a lot her posture and the feet and how you play with a lot of things, and I'm really into that. Where I was like, oh, I have to follow this guy. And then
Thank you.
I went to your Instagram and I stalked you a little bit and I see the books that you read and how open mind you are. And at the same time, we did the same thing. We went to a foreign country to try to expand ourselves. So I was
Definitely.
like, I have to do something with this guy. And then this
Thank
challenge
you very much.
thing appeared, so it was a very good
Yeah.
opportunity to do something. I was trying to do something to keep myself motivated, keep the people motivated at the same time, do something. And not only about the challenge and the squats, I was more focused on some values like the importance of the compromise of doing something for a certain amount of time. The importance of creating a good habit of getting up
100%.
and doing some sport. So we're all in the same boat when it comes to that. Yeah,
Yes,
I'm very
definitely,
happy to
and
have you here.
yeah,
I'm very
I'm
curious
so
for your method
yeah.
and for you to introduce yourself, because I had several people asking and I couldn't go too deep. But once all of
All
this is
right.
over, I would really like to visit your place and see what you do.
Which I believe it's good. I mean, it's good that you reached to the point in your career where it's hard to define what do you do. Like if you just focus on one thing and you just get the best on what you do, you will be missing a lot what's surrounding you, a lot what you can reach. But if it's hard to define you, it's like what this guy exactly does. Like, I don't know, I do many things. At the end, it's just about health, well-being, pain-free, and just kind of rediscover your body to understand. I like to define myself as someone who likes to teach health and get the people that are my patients, my client, or even my audience, the right to understand their body back, to have control of your own health, and to prevent, fix, and also educate people around you, right? At the end, you know that you control something, that you know how to do something when you are actually able to teach people around you. And one of the things I always said to my people when I deliver my seminars, when I perform my courses, is you just need someone in your family. I want you to be that spark who is going to change your environment. At the end, you are the result of the people who are surrounding you. We are mammals that when we are first born, we are not ready to survive. We grow up, we develop, and we just become the person who you are by mimicking the person who you have surrounding you exactly the same. So in the same way, that can be reversed. So if you learn a new skill, if you take a new course, if you learn a new recipe, if you take a new eating habit, you just take one person to change entire surrounding. So I'm good at creating the sparks.
Good, because you have the fire in you. Yeah, that's the thing with the
More
motivators. So it's good. It's good. It's very necessary, especially in the time that we are right now, and with everything that's going on. So all the sparks
less.
are good. I try to find and collect them and spread the message as well, because we all need it at some time. And sometimes we are the motivators, and sometimes we are motivated, and sometimes we are the master, and sometimes we are the teacher. So I mean, the teacher and the learner.
And also that's also a very huge reason, but you should be very careful also and with the people you actually follow, support, and social media, right? Out of the, let's say, 1,000 people you follow, I'm sure like there's three, four who make an impact the most in your life, your decisions, your habits, the way you think. So it's very important actually, is that something that I encourage people to do, to actually reduce the amount of people you follow, the amount of people you expose yourself also, because at the end, like, as I said, there's going to be 3, 4, 5 people who is going to give you motivation the most, inspiration the most, and it's going to encourage you to be better. So narrow the circles you pay attention to, and it also will just make you grow as a person and professional also.
I'm very happy you made that point, because especially nowadays, social media and all these fake plastic and fantastic lives. And by the end, you never know what's behind, you know, like everybody has their own fights and their own paths for learning. And I think there's some social accounts that harm more than inspire. So, yeah, it's a very good advice. Just follow the people that inspire you, follow the people that make you be better. And all of those that give you just bad feelings and just make you go to comparison yourself, starting from the body to any materialistic things, are not good for you. Try to follow things that make your mind wiser, open, free.
100%. And it's something that you're going to start realizing if you attempt to do this, like, as I said, narrowing your circle, which is realizing how attached you were to people who doesn't add any value to you at all. And you just continue following them because, you know, 1 year ago, always following them, and maybe they get upset if I don't follow them back. And it's something very interesting that just recently happened to me. There was this girl that, I don't know, like, I was going through the people I follow, and I said, okay, like, every certain time, I just go, I clean it. Like, these people don't add value to me. I don't waste time with them. It's okay. And I just unfollow her, and she has, like, 700 followers, whatever. And instantly she replied me back, I'm so upset you stopped following me, da, da, da. And I'm like, well, don't take it personal. It's just for me, it's for my own health. Like, your account doesn't add me any value. Therefore, I'm going to be wasting time if I scroll and there's nothing for me to learn from you. So don't take it personal. It's from me. And she instead replied, so, oh, wow. And now I respect you more as a professional. And by the way, this is the account I use to deliver and share my work. So check it out. And that account was actually way more interesting than the one I was following. Then I ended up thanking her, because I was an account full of exercise and tips and was like, wow, I should do this more often.
I think it's good we start this way, giving an advice and cleaning the inputs that we receive. We should not accept everything 100%. We receive. Sometimes we have no choice because we have a lot of advertising. Not even the ones that we don't watch TV is a different story, but when you're driving, you receive like thousands of inputs of things that you don't realize, but it's like there every day. So it creates something in your mind. I come from a marketing environment, so I really know how, I know how we impact in emotional marketing and how make you need things that you don't need. So please keep your eyes open, know yourself, know your worth, know what you like, and just follow your instincts, follow your path.
Yeah. It's crazy the amount of distraction, stress, and stimuli that get to your brain without you even knowing. Like, I really can feel that when I'm training patients, when I'm coaching and guiding patients, I really need them. I can't do it when there's people surrounding me. Not for me, because my background, like, I've been professional football player until the age of 27, so I'm used. Like, I can perfectly study with hardcore music and people around me. I know how to bubble myself. Mm-hmm. I know how to maintain focus even with 10,000 people like watching me and screaming at me. I don't care. But people is not trained for that. So whenever you are coaching someone, guiding someone, try to reduce and minimize the amount of stimuli that person can receive, because should be focused on what's feeling inside, not what's around you. It's very important in the process of learning.
Yeah, I love the one-to-one sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the best option.
Yeah, it's the best. You can create the environment for the person to open and really grow into that part. Because I'm very happy that you're this kind of coach. I had the idea and you're just confirming. I always say to me, a coach is not just a trainer. It's also your coach when it comes to the English version of the coach, your life coach. They teach you something. They guide you through a process, through the sport. That is one of the ways that it's going to give you well-being, but at the same time, it's training your mind. I was listening 100%. when Borja Vilaseca was talking about how and the professional tennis players is not the one that has the best technique that wins, is the one that can hold the better mind and more relaxed state that wins the match. Because when you reach a certain level, your technique is perfect. And obviously the person that's against you, their technique is perfect as well. Yeah. So it has to be something else. And this is a challenge in all your life, is how you not react. You just act. So you think, take 3 seconds, and
that's
then you act to the other person.
That's
so I think that now that we have this role from the sport, not, of course, there's other kinds of therapies. I consider sport my therapy. I love it. I can't live without it. Being without the gym is, I'm not going to say it's killing me. I miss the iron, but there is many other things you can do in the house as well. But I like the fact of leaving the house and going to find my time for do my sport. And I play all kinds of team sports. But by the end, I found out that besides playing with a team, that I like it, having also my own personal time where I can develop myself and my thoughts to improving and challenge, it's so positive. So that's why I promote, and I will always promote sports in all people's lives. Besides that, we're animals and we come from moving, so we need movement, metabolism, movement. So, well, it's a very nice introduction. Well, for all of you, it's Ruben Garcia from Out of Motion. he's in Kuwait as well. He's a Spanish coach. I was very happy to be able to interview him. And please go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you come from, how you get here.
All right. So, my entire life evolved around football. I was being a professional football player at the age of 16. Was goalkeeper. And then while I was playing football, when I was 18, I was studying science of sports and health. I continued playing football. So I never had the chance, actually being professional, you never had the chance to practice other than that. Like the entire life is just focused like a racehorse. Train, eat, rest, and again. And when I was 27, having behind my back 4 big surgeries, like 2 on my shoulders and 2 discs on my lumbar spine. So I just noticed that my body was not able to do the things that my mind was asking me anymore, right? Probably right now I really could. But back then I didn't have the methods, I didn't have the tools to bring my body back to perform 100%. As my mind was asking, or so my mind was requesting. And, I was always interested about the preparation part of the sport. Like I was always was beside the, not the main coach, but the physical, preparator, right? And asking why we do this, why we do that, how our performance will change, how endurance will change. I was always interested. So when I decided to quit, then I started to pay more attention, doing a lot of courses, a lot of seminars, just training people, guiding people, with all my experience that I had. Hey, let's guide people. And I realized how much I enjoyed taking people from point A to point B, like guiding them. And people telling me, hey, you know, when I started with you, I was not able to lift up my grandchildren. And now I can play with them the entire evening. I'm so happy with that. So that part was making me way more happy than actually taking athletes from just raising a little bit of performance. Like I found joy helping normal people, just doing simple things, simple tasks like carrying their groceries, going up and down the stairs without pain, waking up without pain, being able to play with the grandchildren. I really find joy in that. So I just focus on the basics. Like I don't need to make an athlete perform 1 second better. I just need to focus on what average people, which is 80%+ of the world population, lacking to make themselves better, to have a painless lifestyle, to be able to just do the things that the brain wants to do and they cannot. And nobody's telling them how to, right? So I start focusing on that. I had the chance to come to Kuwait 5 years ago. And I brought up that mindset, which by that time was so new and so awkward because everyone was focusing on just machines, just bodybuilding, be stronger, have better muscle mass. But nobody actually was asking you, do you have pain somewhere? Do you want to be better? Do you want to not having this discomfort over here when you wake up every day? And then the way I was working was catching attention, and by the word of mouth, I guess, and exposing my work to social media, people was actually curious and wanting to try me. It's just, I got fully booked, blah, blah, blah. And here we are. I created our motion as an education system, because people, like basic people and professionals, wanting to take this path. And here I am right now.
That's so good. Okay. You go very a lot with, we interviewed ITTC last week, Integration of Techniques to Work the Body from Rafael Santos. I think it would be a good thing to put you two in contact as well, because this is the new methodology I wish that the world goes for, because we as athletes, we never talk about our injuries. Well, I'm a weird one, I do. If I get an injury, like the last time I split my ankle with high heels. It was not in the gym though, but like, I go from the emotional state to the physical state. Like, why did I split my ankle? Lack of flexibility. Why I'm not being flexible so much in my life? And then on the other side, it's okay. Then it's something in my posterior chain. I need to stretch my posterior chain better because my ankle was too stiff.
Yeah.
So it's emotionally and physically that you need to do the work. And this is the same with the clients. Like when they are stuck in something, it's not only giving them a diet, because maybe it's the metabolism that's stopped. So it doesn't matter how much less they eat, the body's not going to improve because it's something missing. And a lot of times definitely. It's not, if it's missing in the body, it's missing also in the head. So you need to find where they are stuck and free them through an easy way. So movement 100%. Is key. By moving, 100%. It's kind of, I did Qigong for a while. So I understood a lot the power of the movement and to free the emotions and the stuck energies. So anything related to motion, mobility, and it's by the end, it mixes. If you think it's like Pilates and then yoga and then all these kinds of like Tai Chi, Qigong, and it's all about the movement and the freedom of the energy.
Yeah. I like that last word, the energy. At the end, we are energy. Mm. And when you stop moving, that energy gets stuck. And there's many, many factors that alter your inner energy, as we were explaining before. All the stress and the stimuli you are surrounded by and exposed by without you even noticing, your habits, your lifestyle, the food you eat, the people you are surrounded with, the way you talk to yourself, the people you follow, the people you pay attention to, that's all the time altering your energy for good or for bad. So it's in your own duty to detect the things that make yourself better, that make your energy blossom up, and spend and invest more time doing them. Very, very important.
I completely agree.
Actually listen, realize that.
Completely agree. So my second question was, how did our motion begin? I think you explained that. I have a tricky one. What is the importance of the glutes when we walk and for corporal posture?
All right.
As I'm a big glute fan.
Yeah, I know, which is very good, always in the right measure, right? Well, nowadays what used the most is people just going through a very sedentary life. Like our life just evolves around sitting down, and that has very bad effects, not just the fact of sitting down, but the fact of squishing and inhibiting constantly the flow of blood and oxygen through the most important muscle in your body, apart from your heart and your brain, your glutes. The glutes is the power horse of your body. It's the one that propels you forward and makes you move. At the end, you're not a tree. You're a human. So
I love that analogy.
If you want to move forward, you need glutes to propel you forward, right? Mm-hmm. And by being sitting down, what happens is you are training without you wanting your hip flexors, which are your psoas, your quads, all the muscles in the front of your body, to be better, to be stiffer, because your body and your brain knows that you're going to spend a lot of hours sitting down, so your body just going to adapt. Instead of actually using the glutes, which are the muscles behind your back, to propel you front. So the glutes are actually that important. There's no glutes, your body's going to move here. your body always going to move. We are a perfect machine to compensate. The problem is, instead of the plan A, which is what are you biologically designed for, your body is going to use the plan B, which is just jumping around muscles available to make yourself move. And at the end, like, for a while, it's okay because it's making you survive. Your body works in that way. Is this good for me? Is this making me survive? Yes, continue. Your body doesn't think about what's going to happen in 1 month ago, which is that compensations are going to lead to more compensations, to dysfunctions, to imbalances. And at the end, hey, today I woke up with this pain here and I didn't do anything. I don't know how come. And guess what? That was your too much sitting down time and not doing any physical exercise, not doing any physical activity that inhibited your glutes, make other parts of your body work that don't have to work that much. And after 1 month, lead to the pain, discomfort, or injury that you have right now. So yes, they are that important.
Yeah, and then once it's a long time, going to the focus of the problem is so hard because it's a lot of things that adds up.
Yeah.
Like I get some clients as well, like, oh, I have this, why? And I'm like, oh my God, you want the short explanation or the long explanation? Because the long one is like the accumulation of the factors in your life reached to this point, and now it's not just simple fix, it's just going back, fixing a lot of things and creating new habits, which the longer you do, the more difficult it is to not to stop them to do it.
100%. And it's something that I try to teach during my seminars and my courses and my social media. Like, unless there is an impact, an accident or a trauma, whatever happens to you, like, it's not the fault of the spot that it's in pain. Someone else going on. Like, you are one body. One thing that the Western medicine failed in teaching us, the way we understand the body, is by pieces. Instead of the Eastern medicine, more Oriental and Chinese, they understood the body as one piece. So either you take care of the entire body or somehow, somewhere, you're going to be affected. There's going to be some pain, discomfort, or injury. And it's something that I really put a lot of attention to teach the first moment I meet someone, because people is really not aware of this. Like, if you come to me complain about your shoulder, I'm not even going to touch your shoulder. I'm going to tell you, take off your shoes. Show me how good your foot moves. Show me how good your knee moves. Show me how good your hips move. Show me how good you breathe. Show me how good your shoulders move. And then maybe we start with the shoulders. But we have 1 month of work before actually I care about your shoulder. Because that's it. Where the problem is, where the pain is, the problem is not. So let's just readjust the entire body.
Correct. Oh my God, I'm so happy. Sometimes yeah. I feel like it's so hard to find people with this mindset, but at the same time, the life just brings them to you. So I'm very
Definitely.
Happy.
We are energy. We attract what we think, right? And
Correct,
again, it's very hard to make this understand. Like, I can tell you, like 3 days ago, a patient of mine still asking me like a problem in the shoulder, and he messaged me at 1 a.m. I was like, what he wants? And he's like, hi Ruben, the progress is going so well. I'm very happy with the results, but I would like us to focus more in my shoulder. And I'm like, we are focusing on your shoulder. But if the hips don't move well, forget about the shoulder moving well. Like, everything is connected. So yes, sometimes you have to find the balance to please the patient or the client and also do your work. And it's hard to go there, right? It's not just, okay, this is what it is, and you actually obey me or leave me. Or that, it's just finding the balance with the mindset of the people and the goal you want to reach with them. That's the key of success, I think.
Correct. Next question. And the importance of the hips and the feet.
Hips and feet, good ones. Well, with the glutes, let's consider them as a muscle. The foot and your feet and your hips, let's consider them as a structure, which are way more complex. I would like to start saying that, listen, like, for example, your elbow is like a three joint piece, right? Let's consider one joint, the big one. Now I want you to think about your foot, something that is covered, very tiny, like 20 centimeters, 40 centimeters. There's 33 joints your foot, 33. Like the elbow is one, the shoulder is one, there's 33 in your foot. That's telling you how much movement your foot can actually go through. And by covering always with shoes, with thickness rubber, like the foot is not exposed anymore to develop, to provide sensory information, to provide proprioception. And that's very bad. As I said, the body will continue surviving. The body will find another way because your foot, your hands, and your eyes are the three main sources of information for your brain to create movement for the body to go through. By covering your foot, you are annihilating one third of the main sources of information that the brain relies on for you to develop movement. And that's very, very huge. One of the things I'm happy the most is how much my patients, my followers, my audience appreciate when they actually take the step forward of deciding to take the shoes off and rediscover and explore how much the foot tells them when the foot is naked and bare, and how much connection the foot has actually with the hips. Like for me, the first thing I do with my patients is try to connect key points of my body. The foot, the hips, and the thoracic spine are the three main ones to me. So foot and hip, you mentioned two of them. Like the first thing I tackle with my patient, okay, we're going to re-educate your body. Foot, hips, that's going to come first. And when you stand up, the first thing that touches the floor is what? Your foot, right? So the foot sends information to your hips sends information to the upper body, and from the upper body, your brain receives it. So how good you can move your feet, how good you can control your feet is going to determine how good your movement ends up being. Because like, imagine you are, let's do this simile. You have a car, fine. Your car could be a Hummer, a 4x4, a Ferrari, whatever you want. Now, break the wheels. You don't go anywhere. So the foot is the same. You messed up your foot, your hips don't receive proper stimuli, your movement is going to be completely affected. So yeah, it's the first thing I focus on, foot and hip performance to actually develop the entire body. Other weights, you're going to reach plateau. And also without shoes, always, always without shoes. Like this too much, even with socks, you can start with socks if you never expose it before your foot to a, like a naked environment, but just a sock, just wearing a sock is actually, how do you say this? It's proven that distorts and delays the source of information that your brain receives from your foot, like your hand. When you're wearing a glove, even if it's latex, it just distorts the information.
Yeah.
So imagine you wear this midget like oven to pick something from the oven, which is thick. So the same will happen with the shoes. Your hand stops receiving information. Therefore, your brain stops receiving information also. The movement is going to be distorted. Yeah. Very, very important, that one.
You know, I'm a very obsessive person when it comes to understanding how people walk. Like the people that knows me close, something that I enjoy is just sitting somewhere and observing people walking up to a point that I thought I would love to write a book about it. But then one of my friends told me, so Patricia, how are you going to walk? How are you going to write the book? Because you need to study a lot of things. Because if you want to create like a theory, you need science. So you need to study the step. And because I wanted to go only to the motion on side, like maybe more secure people step more forward, more straight. People who is more clumsy will step like this. People who are more dreamers will jump. And then why people have flat feet. And I was so into it, but then I saw, oh my God, the amount of research of what's behind it, that I changed completely my thesis.
it's very, very nice key. Thesis, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very nice
thesis. Very nice thesis. We have to understand here one thing. Like, as I said at the beginning, we are the only animal in nature, the only species in nature that when we are born, we don't know how to survive. And point number two, we are completely out of our natural environment, which is the savannah, the jungles, the mountains, nature, open nature. So when you put us in a concrete environment, flat environment, then the entire meaning of the evolution of your body through thousands of years stops making sense. Because why do I need a body that is capable to sprint, to run, to climb, to jump, to adapt to the cold and the heat, to adapt to periods of no food? So there's no need nowadays. And that's why, because our body don't have anything to fight against, all the modern diseases start coming up. The body fights itself. More than 80% of the things that happen to us are self-created because we don't have enough exposure to the environment. So the body actually, the immune system actually fights yourself. And then cancers, Alzheimer's, diabetes, just, you can name it, right? Parkinson, everything is just modern human hand, like human-made diseases. And it's very important what you said. Like the way you walk, it's completely linked with the way you think, what happens here, how this understands your body. And the way you walk, it will show emotions, it will show injuries, it will show fear, it will show problems at home, it will show poor muscle development, obesity, overweight, traumas in the, like, it's crazy how much you can pick up from someone's walking. And it's something like I really pay attention also a lot.
Wow. True. Next one. Could you give us some tips to maintain the posture?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I sit forward all the time. And when I'm talking about posture, I just try to stay in the back of the chair. So I come forward, I'm like, no, I have to sit back.
Well, this is also a problem, and I'll tell you why. You said, can you give us some tips to maintain the posture? I'm like, yeah, but for which posture? Sometimes, most of the times we actually understand the right posture, the one that you just stand and be as straight as you can. Fine. As I said, we are not trees, so we need to move. So the thing is, give me a tip to maintain the right posture while I'm doing other things. That's the key. Like, it's very simple for me to just adjust myself here and yeah, and just stay here. Now is the problem. The brain doesn't like to stay here. The brain doesn't like to pay attention to your body. So in 30 seconds, you're going to lose this because something else is going to distract you. And this is the key. We need to reach the point where you train your muscles in a way that you don't have to think about what you are doing anymore. Right? Again, if you have to think about what you are doing, you will stop paying attention. You will lose it. And that's what the point you don't want to reach. That's the way people walk. It's like just dropping themselves or the head forward, shoulders forward, the back arch, right? So it requires quite an effort. It requires commitment. And I would say like 1 month of obsession. You have to become obsessed with that. You want to change your posture. You want to change who you are, the way you walk, the way you think. You have to become obsessed for a short period of time, let's say 1 month, on changing and just focusing the things you do. Otherwise, it's impossible. Because again, 95% of your day, your brain is in autopilot. You are not aware of what you are doing. You are your habit. Just 5% of your day, you actually pay attention to, and you have a window to rewire, to discover something new from yourself and to actually work in something new for yourself. That's the time I want you to focus on, that 5% and making yourself better. You want to change your posture, for example, you're going to become obsessed on the way you breathe. The way you breathe, if you have good rib expansion, if your breathing pattern is correct, you're going to feel, you're going to notice that the entire upper body, let's say your shoulders and your head, just sit restless on top of your body. There's no problem here because the muscles of the ribcage develop in a way by how good you become breathing that it's effortless for you to be here. So some of the times, like the majority of the times actually, we try to change the posture by influencing what's happening outside. Okay, I'm going to develop better glutes for sure. It will influence, but not as much as the next thing I'm going to say. Your back extensors for sure is going to influence, but not as the same thing I'm going to say. Your foot for sure, yes. But the main thing is actually to change from inside out. And that you get it from the breathing. You're gonna see that people with bad posture don't have good breathing pattern. People with good breathing pattern, they can hold a nice posture. That's completely related. 100%. 100%. So you want to change your posture, you start working on your breathing pattern. You're gonna see that then that awareness, that capacity of yourself listening what's happening inside your body is gonna open new windows for you to actually listen to what's happening in your body and in other areas. For example, your shoulder. Before it was like that. Okay, now I feel that it's like that and I can move it back. My foot was like that. Now I know that it's like that and I can move it straight. So it's about awareness. You have to become a little bit upset. Change your posture, yes. Change your breathing pattern. We start from there.
Amazing. I didn't do it on purpose, but I connected ITTC first, which was more getting aware. The exercise that we told my followers to do is to stand in front of a mirror, naked, and wait 5 minutes with your eyes closed and see where your body bends, and then open your eyes. And please observe from head to toes your body. So spend time. How is my neck? How is my shoulder? How is my middle? How are my hips? Then when you're conscious of how your real state is without the tension that's compensating, then we can take action. Then you can see my hip is twisted. Why? My feet's not straight. My knee. And then we go through you that has the movement to keep the body flow as well. And then on the 5th of May, we have the interview with Haifa that is transformational breath.
Yes.
And you just talk about breathing. So I love how things fall apart and
definitely,
come together.
Definitely.
But yeah,
completely
it would be fun. The way we breathe is how we relate with the environment, which I find, even if you have the chance to see someone sleeping, pay attention how your partner sleeps. People that sleep very deep and slow, they take long time to make decisions. It's people who are more less impulsive, a little more afraid of life. People with have very fast breathing patterns, or we just think when we're angry, right? These people are more impulsive. They take fast decisions. They have fast minds. So it's about not controlling your breath, but you need to come back to your natural way of breathing. And this is a practice also that you can do with the transformation of breathing.
Very
so
nice.
Yes,
very
definitely. I didn't know, but of course it's logic. The breathing was connected also to the way we walk. So another point for my future thesis. But
yeah.
The way we breathe, I always complain how I would like in school to teach us basics for me. How to eat, nourish your body, how to breathe, how to sleep. Nobody teaches how to properly sleep, what are our main emotions and how to relate with the others. You know, there's so many like super basic things that nobody even cooking. Why do I need to study the story of this person that, and I don't learn basic things to relate myself as a human being. Then when I'm experiencing something, I don't even know how to take care of that for myself. I need to go to someone specialist to tell me what I'm feeling. But how is that person going to understand what I'm feeling if what I'm feeling is inside of me? So this is why for me also having you here so awake in a way, it's so basic because you open this dimension of the understanding and the understanding yourself. So I will suggest to all of you to please do anything that helps you to understand yourself better. Try to work with people that helps you to grow from the inside to the outside with measurable and possible to achieve objectives. Don't put objectives that are out of yourself.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
I would say so many things.
No, it's completely true. It's something that I'm actually very upset and disappointed with how they continue teaching people in schools, universities, in high schools, and you actually end up your degree and you know nothing. You know nothing. Like, I can 100% tell you that the entire work that I do, the entire approach that I take, the way I work, has nothing to do from what I learned in the university. People ask me, how can I learn what you've done? Like, well, believe me, it's not about your degree. Like, I really don't care about your degree. Your degree will tell you, it's actually, I believe that, let's say, physiotherapy, doctor, medicine, instead of actually opening your mind of the possibilities of what you can do, it actually narrows your mind. By teaching you A, B, and C, you will start only thinking about A, B, and C instead of seeing the entire abecedary, right? So you should be willing to accept that you know nothing. You know nothing. And whatever you read, like, that's one of the reasons I read things that are not related at all with what I do. Because you always can pick up 10, 20% of that book, that reading, that seminar, and just trying to apply it of what you do and become better professional. That's what makes you step up, step out from the people surrounding you, the tools you have, marketing, personal development, mindset, the brain, physiology, kinesiology, like whatever, whatever. Just read whatever and try to apply it of the things you do. That's something that is gonna completely separate you from the rest around you. Yep.
I love it. my last question is, where can we find you? Also in Spain, because I don't know if you do. I see you do some seminars over there. I don't know if they're online or present, but now probably online, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yes, right now I'm offering a sessions online, one-on-one, and when this, well, I perform seminars worldwide, and they are scheduled and announced on my website or here on Instagram. And yeah, there's two versions of them. Like, the first one is Movement Foundation, which is open for everyone who wants to, as I said, rediscover and to get the right of understanding their body and their health back. They can go through it and people just end up super happy. It's like a 3-level seminar. And then the R Motion Pro, which is specially developed for professionals, it's focused on teaching you how to teach. The things I see, the tips I give, the things I focus the most, the signs and answers the body gives us when I put you under stress or under certain situations. That things that will take you years and thousands of hours of experience and practice. You have it in a 3-day seminar that at the end is going to be very useful. When I created our motion, is with the aim of instead of just going to a seminar and just end up with the 10 or 20% of the information you got as useful, how can I expand to, let's say, 50% of the entire seminar to take it with you and to be ready to apply it in the next session you're going to perform with the patient? That's what they wanted to. And they, it's something that people end up very, very, happy about it. And I'm very happy also to help people all over the world, actually. It's very successful.
So the seminars are online this year?
Sorry, I didn't answer that. I'm about to
It's just somebody said, I cannot wait to the Barcelona seminar, and I'm going to attend inshallah in future, so just to get our audience happy.
Yeah, I'm about to actually start recording some of the seminars online because there's a lot of practical stuff. So I'll make a way to actually teach you the theoretical part. And then during the seminar, well, we will go over the practical stuff. Because, again, online, whatever happens online is the second best option you're always going to find. The first option is one-on-one and presence and live. Yeah. So let's not dismiss how important these sessions are, how much information and content we are adding to people. But at the end, the most value is when you actually have the chance to put your hands on the people, to feel the energy of someone when it's in front of you, to encourage them, to motivate them and inspire them just with your presence.
That's very good. Then we can find you on social media under our motion. Any other online channels that we can follow you?
Well, you just go through my media and you will find the YouTube, the Instagram, and the website, and my email, and that's more than enough. I really reject having more social media than that because it's too much effort, too much of my energy to go on. And I think that's completely enough. So that's it so far. And I think it's completely enough. Whoever needs help, I'm offering a free consultation, guys. You just go through my link on my website in my bio and schedule your next free consultation. I will be more than happy to help you in whatever matter you need. And if you need further help, we start with a one-on-one online session.
Sounds amazing. Thank you so much, Ruben. It was a pleasure
to interview you. Thank you. It was very nice. Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure to have you. Thank you. And thanks for everyone for watching us. And we see you in the next one.
Sure. Thanks very much, Patricia.
Have
a great
time.
Ciao. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ciao. Well, this was all for today. Hope you like it. Remember, we go back on the 8th of May with the interview with Haifa for the transformation of breathing. And thank you so much for watching us. And I see you tomorrow for the challenge. Don't forget that. Bye-bye.